morning's lesson, failure to be separate. Failure to be separate. I thought about this and was trying to put it together all week. And it being a communion day, a day of communion, I end up intermingling part of it toward the end in a communion service, sermon. But we as a church, we want to be overcomers in the mission that God had given us. That mission calls for us to be holy. And to be holy, we must be separate. We must have the mind of Christ, and that mind retains the things of God. It meditates on the things of God. It is constantly vigilant and sober. In other words, it doesn't sleep nor slumber, because the adversary is waiting for that minute, that time to get in and pounce upon us. And when he tells us to come out from among them in 2 Corinthians 6th chapter and the 17th verse, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." That's a theme that prevails throughout the Bible, and that is biblical separation. In the Old Testament, we saw physics in the physical, and he used a lot of different analogies, a lot of different metaphors and simile. He used all types of things, like the eating the unclean and the clean things. All that was to show us separation. But in this New Testament time, separation is not necessarily physical or geographical, because we can be married to someone that we have to be separate from. If you look at the book of Corinthians, that if you married and your spouse is a believer or unbeliever, that doesn't give you grounds for divorce. You can't say, "Well, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked." No, it says what condition you find yourself in at time of conversion, you remain in that condition. As an example of that, you see that Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon, and he was a slave at that time. If there's a way to break free or whatever, you can break free or whatever. But if you can't break free, you just have to be dependent upon the Spirit. You want to sit back some? You want to sit back a little bit? Yeah. But if you don't have the ability to break free, you need to ask the Spirit for the power to be separate and look at Jesus' prayer. I think it was in the 15th and 17th chapter of John, where it says, "I pray that you leave him in the world." He wasn't praying that he take us out of the world, but that he keeps us from the evil that's in the world. We look at that scripture and we don't realize how gargantuan a task that is. And that the only way we can feel that is through the Spirit and through the power of His Word. The scripture text this morning comes from Isaiah, the 2nd chapter and the 6th verse. And like I said, this is not in chronological order in Isaiah. And if we go through the book of Isaiah, but a lot of it starts at the beginning of why God's fighting his people, what's going on, but the explanation comes later. So it takes consistent study. That's why I said we'll be studying many a day. We'll have many a different Bible study. We will have more teaching and Bible studies than we've been having, because we're way behind. That's why the apostles, they met daily. That's why the people, he says, daily study your Bible. We can't afford to let any moss grow upon us. You know, we can't remain idle. The 2nd chapter of Isaiah, the 6th verse says, "Therefore thou hast forsaken thine people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. That's a mouthful. Now we're going to need to look at through here, why would God forsake his people? Why would God leave those that he had chosen? How can you forsake your children? How can you forsake those that are of your own loins? Huh? How can you forsake those within the church, within that assembly? That's a devastating question there. And we see part of the explanation here, and I don't know if y'all read the rest of it. There are four reasons. The next one we'll study next week and then the following weeks. But here he says, because they have replenished from the east. In other words, they have allowed the eastern religions to come in. They have allowed different people to come in that he had set them in the promised land to be separate and to be a light for him. But it's just, it would be the same as us nowadays in the churches. We're letting everybody in the church. We're combining the denominations, ecumenism, in which all of the churches wants to be one. They want to join together. I heard one televangelist, I think it was T.D. Jakes, that was saying, instead of all these little small churches in the community throughout, why don't they just get together and have one large church, one pastor over that church, and make larger assemblies or something. That's great coming from someone like him. That's why when they were having a conference and Vodi Bochum, he bowed out and didn't go, because he says, if I'd have went and participated in that conference, that'd have made it look like I agree with something that T.D. Jakes was saying and teaching. And we know that that's very dangerous, those kind of teachings that he teaches, and being united. That's what they did at the Tower of Babylon. They wanted to be united. That they were listening and listening. And you sit there and don't realize, would you let the false prophet, would you just open your door and let any preacher come in your home and preach your children or teach your children? That's what you're doing on the television and on the internet, man, when you're just listening to any preachers and teachers and all these different televangelists. The same one I just mentioned or whatever. When you let those at home, that is just as different. That is just as dangerous as allowing a rattlesnake or a cobra into your home. False doctrine. Different method. And that's what God had against him. He says, you've allowed these different religions, these different people, instead of being separate from that. That's why a lot of the people in the church don't have the power that they should have. They think it's all right. That we should, they teach some of the same things we teaching, and this, and they don't see any difference in it. And you won't ever see a difference in it, because you will be just as lost as they are. You're not in the battle. He says, and soothsayers like the Philistines, and please themselves and the children of strangers. They had started intermarrying. They had started allowing different things to come unto them. God walked away from them, because they wasn't separate. They wasn't holding up the banner. So that first point is the wicked it forsaken. Now notice whom the Lord calls wicked, and he forsakes them because they should have known better. He'd given them throughout Deuteronomy about people coming into the congregation. You should have known better, even though that they had the guise of a sheep. That you should have learned, and that you had should have not been weak in these areas. That he had told you to strengthen yourself. So that's what happened with the five foolish. They didn't strengthen themselves and stand for truth in every area. Every area of their lives. When Gideon asked the question, why all this has happened unto us, it appears he wasn't quite studied up on history. Why it had happened? Why was he having to thresh wheat in the wine press? You should be up on a mountain or somewhere where it's a wine press was in a ravine. It was something deep. It was something like in a trough or offset place, but he was scared that they were going to steal his wheat, that the Midianites was going to steal his wheat. Why are we in the condition we're in today? 2 Chronicles 30:7 might give us a hint here. It says, do not be like your parents and your fellow Israelites who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their ancestors, so that he made them an object of horror, as you see. It was their parents who allowed this in. We have to get strong, even though our parents may not be here anymore or not. See, it might not have been for my mother and father to fight those battles, but Christmas and Easter shouldn't have never been celebrated by our family. You know, I allowed that hedge to be broken in my home. When I first started working, when I first got married, we didn't have a television set in the home. But my boss's son, he gave me a television set for the children and thing. I allowed a monster into my home. I allowed that. Hopefully God won't hold that against me, that I'm standing now. And sometimes we allow those things. My parents lied to me. They told me there was an Easter bunny. They told me about Santa Claus and things. But I don't hold that against them, that I'm walking in the light. And I tell my children, I warn them of these things. I hold that up. I won't sit amongst those that do those things. Jeremiah said he didn't sit in the assembly of those. I won't be around that. I won't be a part of it. Just like Vody Balcom said, he wouldn't be a part of those that were speaking false doctrine, so you wouldn't think I'm complicit in another man's sin. If I'm standing up and allowing some preacher to come in here, I'm on the same stage with that preacher, and he's preaching false doctrine, you think I agree with it. Wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do it. Matthew 23 and 38 says, listen carefully. Your house is left to you desolate, completely abandoned by God, and destitute of his protection. That is Jesus Christ speaking. Now, who are he speaking to? Is he speaking to his people? Is he talking about Jerusalem, that it would be left desolate? That wouldn't a stone be left up on a stone? And that he had turned on them? Why is this? They had put a hedge or a fence up around the Sabbath. They hadn't understood in during that time of their day of visitation. Christ had came and they hadn't recognized whom he was. A lot of us wouldn't know God if we saw him. A lot of us, because why? We're not fighting that battle. That battle, you know what? Where the battle starts at? The battle starts at home. The battle starts right in the church. If you can't do it in your church, if you can't do it in your home, you're not going to be able to do it on the street. You're not going to be able to do it on your job. If you can't bring your family under subjection, you're not going to be able to bring the outsiders under subjection. You can't do it. In the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, the 41st through the 44th verse, it says, so they made a calf idol and sacrificed to it and rejoiced in this thing that they had made. Then God turned away from them and gave them up and let them serve the sun, moon, and stars as their gods. In the book of Amos prophecies, the Lord God asks, was it to me you were sacrificing during those 40 years in the desert in Israel? No, your real interest was in your heathen gods, Sakuf and the star god Kaway, and all the images you made. So I will send you into captivity from far away into Babylon. He sent them into Babylon. A lot of them didn't return out of Babylon. They got comfortable in Babylon. There are people in my family comfortable in Babylon. And people in our families that are comfortable. They invite you, come watch the Super Bowl with us. Come partake of these meals and these things. We love the world and the things of the world. I don't think I will. I wouldn't prevent my children or my wife from going, because why? Each man has to give account to God of himself. That's why I say, if your wife want to go, you she's a grown person. If she want to go, you can't stop her from going. See, in the Old Testament, when Joshua would say, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. See, but it doesn't quite work that way nowadays. The Spirit coming in and it's speaking. That's why when Peter dressed Ananias and Sapphira, notice that he did it separately. That he gave her a chance not to agree with her husband? You see, that's where the yoke is. If your wife want to do something that's ungodly, you shouldn't stand in the way. You shouldn't stop with if the word's being preached or whatever, because it says one will be taken and one not taken. If your children decide not to honor their parents and listen, that's shortening their days. You've done all you can do. If your parents still doing the things that they shouldn't do, see, preaching and teaching is designed to those who want to voluntarily follow the Lord. The Lord's not going to force you in that way. That's why you have to start learning to deny yourself and separate and come apart. In other words, I want to get out the car. I see y'all are not right. I don't want to sit in this part. I've been thinking, I tell my wife the other day about this family reunion coming up. It's going to be better for y'all that I don't go, because y'all will think it's strange I'm there and I'm not greeting and going along with a lot y'all saying or doing. And to keep y'all, to keep the balance there, it might be better for me to not go. But I will go. I'm not afraid of going, but the confrontation would be there because I can't tolerate or be compromised in any way in my religious ways. That's why Daniel said, well, look, I can't eat of the king's table, because it's going to compromise me to fellowship with you. And I can't compromise in the areas concerning my God. That's why I say put food laws and things there. And food doesn't commend you to heaven, but it shows that there is a distinction between what is clean and what is not clean. And that's why we have to understand this spiritually nowadays, that it has religious implications. And after your question the other night, I will veer off the path again in a couple of weeks and teach you about religion. See, because football to some people is religion. That's what they'll give their life to, the saints. They'll give their life to watching football. They're dedicated to that. You know, religion is something that you is dedicated to in worship. That's why God said there'd be many of gods. Some people would choose to stay home and watch the game overcoming the church. Some people would choose to listen at their wives than to listen at God. Huh? Is that true? Is that not what he told Adam? He says, why did you eat of the tree I told you not to? Now you didn't listen at your wife and did something? That's become your God. A lot of us, our wives and our husband and our children and our parents are our God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Sometimes the spouse has to be left behind. If you don't hate your mother, father, sister, brother, or your own self, if you can't deny those things, you need to get out of Christianity. Because you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow after him. Abraham, you listened at Sarah. Why did you listen at her? I left you in charge. You know, I've had a lot of people and relatives and say about their wife. Anytime a man tell me, say his wife said this and everything, I really don't have much time for him. Don't go blaming that on your wife. What did you tell her when she told you that? The Bible tells you about that. When she says something, make a deal right then, you have the authority to say, well, no, it's no deal. We're not into that bargain. That's the authority God given you. You need to know biblical separation from the things of the East and the West. That's why anytime a man come in, and I used to listen at a while back myself, Joyce Meyer, and I've heard her talk and preach or whatever. You sit under there, you have a problem. You will have a problem. Well, I'm just going with my wife. You might go to hell along with your wife. You introducing some doctrine in you that you might not overcome. When we push and reject and rebel against known truth, God turns us over to it. And that's how we get turned over. That's known truth. In the book of Hosea, 4th chapter, the 17th verse, my wife pointed this out to me one time and she was asking me about this. He says, Ephraim is joined to his idols, so let him alone and suffer the consequences. Let him alone. That was his oldest son. That was the largest tribe of Israel. You remember that, Patricia? Sometimes your children, you've warned them and told them all you can do, you just have to let them alone. Because they'll tell you, Mama, you keep telling me that. Your daddy told me that. I don't know how many. Sometimes you have to let a person alone. See, if you won't listen to that preacher, God didn't come down and say, Adam, I told you don't eat of that tree now. You don't listen to that Eve. Don't listen to that Satan's Eve. No, God had told them and warned them, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't tell them no more. That's why I said we need to mean what we say and say what we mean. People will run you crazy, keep telling the same thing over and over. The Bible says after the second admonition, let them alone. Let them be a go into heresy. You turn those people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh if you won't listen. The old folks used to tell you what a hard head would make, being hard-headed. The book of Romans, the first chapter, the 24th verse, he says, so God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to, yes, vile and sinful things with others' bodies. You don't think it's of the Lord to allow same-sex marriage? Marry who you want to marry if you want. I didn't told you what I say. Believe me, God mean what he say. Just because you change and do something else, that doesn't mean God changed. He allows these laws. You can smoke marijuana legally in most states now. Now, if you want to do that, that's up to you. See, just because iniquity, in other words, sin is legalized, I don't mean you have to go gambling and buying lottery tickets. In a lot of states, and in Sweden and different places, prostitution is legal. Okay? Just because God allowing those hedges to be lowered, what he's doing, he's turning you over. He's turning you over to your own devices. A lot of people say, let you alone. Sometime when your parents let you alone, then you come back after you done gotten a lot of trouble. Well, Mama or Daddy, why you didn't force me to it? Why you didn't make me? I can't make you do anything. God wants you to voluntarily follow him. You know, after I tell you to wash the dishes certain number of times, you know what that is. You know what those things are. I feel much better that you love me or whatever if I don't have to keep asking you to wash the dishes. Mm-hmm. If you just go in and wash the dishes and do those things. Of your own volition. You're lining up with the character of God. The second one under there, it says that they were filled with Western or the heathen culture. You're lying Trojan horses into the churches. And I was telling you, the largest Trojan horse right now is the Super Bowl. I got relatives that belong to those churches that all the young men and things got to get together and talk about the Super Bowl Sunday and this and that. That they changed the services and things to accommodate the Super Bowl. We'll have to go into it later. But you're going into a league or covenant with the world because of the world's entertainment. And to draw you further in that, they have that's who we follow, and that's who we speak into our churches and movie stars and football players that say they are religious. Mm-hmm. Your Kurt Franklins and all your Christian music now, that's the largest thing that draws people away from God, is that we've allowed everything into Christian music nowadays, and it's regular. Some music in the nightclub is not as bad as Christian music is. Mm-hmm. That's how Satan get in. You remember Satan started in the choir. Lucifer, that, you know, he started singing. You know, singing combines all nations together. Have you noticed stars and things that from Michael Jackson was in Munich, Germany, and it had one of the largest audiences it could be. Music crosses all of the racial lines it is. Moab used knowledge from Balaam to extort the people. Numbers 23 and 7, he took up a parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse Jacob and come defy Israel. He couldn't curse them because whom God has blessed, he's blessed. But he says, I tell you what, they got good-looking women, they got good-looking practices, and have good-looking festivals and things. Once you do this, Once you invite them to your feast, invite them to your get-togethers, let them come over and watch television with you. Once y'all just have fellowships and things together, once they go to drinking and communing with you or whatever, they will start marrying your sons and daughters or whatever, and they will condemn themselves because God had called you to be separate. Their flesh won't allow them to set up that line. I will flesh, because it's like Samson. See that woman? She looks good. Get her from me. The lust of the flesh. We don't want those people that God says we should be paired with. We're not being led by the Spirit. We're being led by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those automobiles, they look good. Those homes, the stuff, the material things, all that stuff, the Eastern culture of the Western, the capitalist tribe, they're materialists. And God says, you can't serve me in mammon. They've turned their backs on God. They give more to these activities than they do to the coffers of God. God says, my house has become desolate. Whereas you can't keep up and serve God in manna. And you can't eat from both tables. You can't serve God and the devil. They listen to people with unorthodox practices. Deuteronomy 18 and 14 says, for these nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those practices of witchcraft and to diviners and fortune tellers. Prosperity teachers, in other words. But as for you, your Lord God has not allowed you to do so. The art of practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. Unusual insight, intuitive perception. They'll come up to you, you know, the Spirit told me. And saying the Spirit led them in saying this and that there. When you lead off with that a lot of times, it's questionable to me. See, they have spirits, and he says, try the spirits to see whether it be of God. You have to be circumspect. You have to be alert. You have to look at that person's life. Examine them. Yes. See, God strengthens us. See, we're not young Christians. We should be teachers of others. We should be leaders and established. We shouldn't be so easily deceived ourselves. And that's your problem. We're not growing in the faith. We're falling for the same old devices and the same old tricks. We're not getting strong, but to see the sons of God are getting strong, they're using biblical separation. In other words, if we're preaching the word of God, that means the hammer have to fall where it may. That hammer that builds and that hammer that tears down, because we have to also drive those out of the church that don't belong there. We can't pursue them. The reason a lot of us not in church today or whatever is the Spirit of God driving you out of the churches. There's a lot of them in the church that won't be in the church because they're trying to find a way out because it's too hot. When the fire gets hot, they have to get out of it. You mean to tell me this person is what they call it now, LGBT or whatever kind of lifestyle. In other words, lesbianism and homosexualism. And you mean to tell me that person is able to sit in the seats of that chair, month in and month out, for years? Something's wrong with your gospel. You know, that's why a lot of people in the churches are broke now, because they're not taking heed to his financial responsibility. But also, that's why some of them are not growing the way they should be growing, because they're only doing it halfway. You have to be completely with the Lord. You can't be doing it at 5 or 6%. You need to be up there at the 12 or 13%. They didn't destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which became a snare unto them. As these became snares unto them, they started allowing their guard to be let down. God doesn't allow these things. The second point is sin's imitation of substitutions for God. The solicitation to these types of sources is forbidden of God, seeking for signs and wonders or whatever. That's why Satan's going to come in the latter days having signs and wonders, whereas the just live by faith. Adulterous generation looking for a sign. That's what the adulterous generation looking for. Exodus 23:2 says, "You shall not follow a crowd to do something evil, nor shall you testify at a trial in a dispute so as to side with a crowd in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you favor or be partial to a poor man in his dispute simply because he's poor." Remember I said the dividing line has to be righteous. It has to be whether a person poor or rich. And you don't join mobs to do wrong. And that's what this nation have done. They've turned their backs on the truth under a religious guise. It has been forsaken. You don't see it, but it has been forsaken. Those that are spiritual see the forsakenness of it. It's in false worship. Deuteronomy 12:30 says, "Take heed to thyself that thou do not be snared by following them, after they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods?" We've told you how they serve their gods, by culturalism. And you could sit in the church. It's a lot of people sit there and they amen the preacher and they say this and that. But their lives are different outside the church. It's easy to agree with what's going on in the church while you're there. But what life you're living out there, that's why you're weak out there. That's why your family, that's why the ones on the job is defeating you. That's why you're not rising up to where you should be. It's hypocrisy. And you're not ashamed to sit in the church and do it. God has a remedy for that. Now watch, let me hurry up here. Because he has a remedy for what you're doing. In bad governmental policies, the people asked for a king and God gave them a king. But that king caused their demise. Notice here, God is against the people. And it was because of their leaders and their rulers. It was because of heathenistic practices wherein just by doing these things, you denied God. You didn't have to verbally deny in the things that you did do. Listening at the Pharisees and in following what the world does. The third point, battles are hindrances overcome. Can you overcome the world? Not if you eat not the same trough they're eating out of. How can Satan cast out Satan? If you're just as bad as the ones you're doing yet wet, you don't know whose side you're on. You could be in a worse shape. If you're sitting in the church doing these things, you could be in a worse shape than those. That's the one he called wicked, the ones that know the truth and don't do it. You could be in worse shape now. If we allow sin to remain in the church, it'll become a hindrance. As God told him to go in and put down all sin. Kill all the people in the land. They didn't do it. He says, but if you, Numbers 33:55-56, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you. They will give you trouble in the land where you live. In your own home, your children will be the ones who turn against you. Your wife could be the one who turns. Your husband's the one. We have more cases of domestic violence now than any time at all. That's because people hadn't gotten in their religious places. They hadn't got in their religious places. And these coming from nice Christian people. Because why? It is God that's fighting against them. We don't have to fight a physical fight. It is the spirit, the zeal of the Lord of hosts performing this. That's what's being loosed into your families. That's what's being loosed into your churches. You don't know what spirit you're playing with. He says, those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And you have made the biggest mistake of all, a failure to separate from it. And he's going to make that separation for you. It will be hurting them by themselves, causing problems for you. It would be them hurting themselves by causing problems for you. You know, sometimes people try to cause a problem for you. They're not knowing that it's causing them bodily hurt. Paul didn't realize this. In the book of Acts, the 26th chapter and the 14th verse, we read this out of the Living. It says, "We all fell down and heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue. Paul, 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 why are you hurting? Why are you persecuting me?" You're only hurting yourselves. Those that talk against true believers of Jesus Christ, they're only hurting themselves because God will get them for that persecution. But he had promised us much persecution. So when our relatives, when our spouses and people are doing us wrong, we know that that persecution must come for standing up for God. But we pray, that's why we pray for our children, our spouses, and the people on the job, because it could be much, much worse for you doing me this way. I really feel sorry for you. You just don't know what you're doing. That's what he says. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. See, but the consequences for that sin is there. God had set that in motion. You just don't know who you're talking about, lying about, backbiting, and making fun of. I'll bear it, though. God passes judgment through his spirit in these latter days now. Christ or judgment? That's the fourth sub-point here. In the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 26th through the 31st verse. I'm doing a lot of reading today, trying to hurry through this, but trying to make a point what happens with the lack of separation. When you fail to separate, God must come in and separate. For if we go on willful and deliberately sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice, atonement for our sin, that is no further offering to anticipate, but a kind of awful and terrifying expectation of divine judgment and the fury of a fire burning wrath which will consume the adversaries, those who themselves in opposition to God. Anyone who has ignored and set aside the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now you just think, how much more greater punishment do you think he will deserve who has rejected and trampled underfoot the Son of God? If that happened to you under the law of Moses, what happens to you when you do it to Christ who spilled his blood for you? You consider that an uncommon or unclean thing that he came down here and suffered and died on a cross for you, and you don't think it's worthy to put yourself through the wringer, through suffering? You're not going to have. God said, listen at this. He says, for we know him who says, vengeance is mine. In other words, retribution and deliverance of justice rest with me. I will repay the wrongdoer. And again, the Lord will judge his people. I want you to go home and read that. It says, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful and terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God, incurring the judgment and the wrath. So don't come here trying to get the church to pray for you all day and asking all this and that there once God forsake you. He told Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. In other words, he was telling them, don't waste your time, Jeremiah, because they brought this up on themselves. You remember he told Moses, and Moses said, don't do this to them, I'll pray for them. He said, now look, Moses, you go on about your business. I'll take care of those that sin against me. See, God's going to clean up the camp. If it was up to man, we would let everybody in heaven. I mean, into the kingdom of God. But God's going to purge those. He knows what's in your heart. God's going to purge out all sin. Not a spot or a blemish could be left. The word of God does that. So that's why we should examine ourselves. If anyone sins deliberately by rejecting the saving, knowing truthness of God, that's what's going to happen to him. Now, are you listening at that? By knowing it and rejecting it, that's what's wickedness. Pay attention here. He says, behold, in other words, 1 John 5:16-17. We going somewhere with this. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those sins that do not lead to death. He says you pray for them. There are some sins that don't lead to death. There's a sin that leads to death now. There is sin. Now this is John saying there's a sin that all wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does lead to death. That you it's, don't pray for him. Don't pray for that because it's no forgiveness. Where is that sin? Matthew 12, chapter in the 31st verse says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy, in other words, every evil and abuses and injurious speaking of dignity against sacred things, will be forgiven people. Even blasphemy against Jesus Christ will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven in this world, in either the world to come. Now what is that? Speaking against the truth. That's what I said. When you go to working against what's true, you're cursing yourself, you're condemning yourself. Now he said you can, people curse the name of Jesus, but that's not blasphemy. That won't be forgiven. See, Paul fought against the name of Jesus. He persecuted. He only hurt himself. And that's why he told Ananias, he said, you go talk, show Paul all the things he's going to have to suffer. Yes. But now when you go to working against the truth, it's a whole different light. That's what this nation starts doing. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. When you go to work against that which is truth, which is the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, that's blasphemy. That's to deny God. That's to deny Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit that's here to save you. You're rejecting that. That's a sin that leads to death. That's a problem there. When you know the truth that should make you free, and you go against that truth, you have no other alternative. That's why when you go to invite any other religions that says there's other way and there's another way, there is no other way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. That's what he did. If you are in the flesh and making provisions for the flesh, you shall be condemned. But that's why he says, mortify the flesh. In other words, put it to death. John, the 6th chapter, 53 through 65. It reads this. Jesus said to them, verily, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What? You believe in cannibalism? You mean to tell me I got to eat your flesh and drink your blood? These was Hebrews. These were the Jews. God didn't leave them as a cannibalistic people. That's why they couldn't allow their children to pass through fire and make human sacrifices. They didn't understand what he was saying. You know, a lot of times when I'm preaching or teaching, and one of y'all stop and say, Pastor, I don't understand that. It's like the parable of the wheat and tares. He took his people inside and he taught them the meaning of it. How many times have you sat here in things that y'all thought y'all knew, and we go across it teaching, and you like Job, you say, I thought I knew, but now I understand it better. That's what studying and researching and praying, you asking God to open your understanding that you would understand. Mm-hmm. He wasn't talking about cannibalism, but they were just like the society that they wanted to become. They wanted kings and leaders. They wanted military leaders. They wanted nice looking people. They wanted credible people, wealthy people, and materialism to rescue them from the world. They didn't have time to get there and do it the old fashioned way, that hard way. That's why a lot of people use the lottery and things. They want quick riches. They want quick money. That's why so many divorces and things now is because when they get married, they want everything that their parents had after 20 or 30 years of marriage. They want it all right now. And they're in so much debt that they don't even see one another. They have a house, but not a home. Yeah. And they don't enjoy that home. That's why so many of them during this last governmental shutdown, they said that they were going to lose their homes. Well, you had to already be behind to lose your home. It used to, you have to go two or three or four payments before they talk about foreclosing on you. So you must have already was in bad shape. The older people used to tell you when you working, son, my father would always say, when you get paid, you put your gas money, you put your living expenses aside, and then you put a little aside for a rainy day. So you're not living from paycheck to paycheck because you don't know what will happen. Watch it now. Watch it now. But we didn't got the ways of the world, the ways of the people and the things of the world. That's why God had forsaken his people. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. He says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in Capernaum. And they didn't understand that he was talking about just what we fit to do this morning, staying in memory of this, that his word is that flesh. That's the bread that came down. A man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Yes. We should eat the whole roll. And we continue to eat this because he was the word made flesh. He was the word ever since the beginning. And that's when he says, this is my body that was broken for you. Eat ye all of that. The blood, forget what the Catholic Church tell you about being turned into the actual blood of Jesus Christ. But see, that's a life-giving spirit. And that blood was shed for us. And by faith, we know that that's what's giving us life. That's why we can't eat of it unworthily. That's why we have to examine ourselves. Because we must, he says, as oft if you do it. Now, if you don't do it, and that's symbolic of doing it, that's just symbolism. Remember I told you, he gave us symbolism. Yes. And that's the Passover he desired to eat. And he says, as oft as you do this. And Paul went over that in 1 Corinthians. That's something that the churches do. A lot of churches don't do it. But that's what I say. We shouldn't intermingle ourselves among those who are not walking after the principles of God. Many disciples desert Jesus. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples was grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of spirit and of life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. And there are some in the church today that don't believe. And you, instead of preaching them out of disfellowshipping them or whatever, you've allowed them. And you know, what's causing the schisms in the church? A schisms, S-H-I-S-M. In other words, the body not working effectively and in unity together is the majority. It's not the minority. And that's why it says, don't follow a crowd to do evil. It was 70% of the evangelicals that has us with the government that we have now. So it's the majority. They're following a crowd to do evil. But Jesus' flock is a mighty small flock. He says, little flock. That's a narrow way. So it's many in the church that do not believe. Just because someone believes in Jesus and goes to church and everything, they don't believe in the whole body of his doctrine. These was a multitudes that were following him. But when it got to the hard sayings, and see, now they even allow themselves to label themselves. They say, well, we carnal Christians. We can't do that or whatever because we're still carnal. You got a problem. Because he had sent the Spirit to lead you and guide you in all truths and give you the power to overcome. He wants us to be overcomers. That crown only goes to those that overcome. We need to be overcomers. We need to let that light so shine. So he says, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come unto me unless the Father had enabled them. So you should know those in the church that you wouldn't count on. The Spirit gives you that. It's no surprise to those of God. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus what Judas did. Paul says Demas had forsaken him. Just as those forsake Jesus during that time, he says mother could turn on sister on daughters and sons and everything. This was going to come. Offenses shall come in the church. There shall be these divisions. There are all those that among you. It says, Ezekiel, they sit there and they listen at you and they amen you. They agree, but they're not doing what you say to. That you know them because they're lacking power and authority in their lives. You can see it. It is felt. Just as it would be hard for you to fight against them, it would be doubly hard for them to fight against you. You know, it's like that giant is ready to fall. You just don't realize it. You just got to keep hitting at it. You just got to keep getting up, hitting at it. It's coming hard and heavy. You just don't let up. You just keep knocking him down. A knock is a boost. You just keep giving the word. You just keep living that way. And it says, who art thou, Lord? Who? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. God's going to keep knocking him down. But it's God that's doing the knocking down. And that's why it says, you pray for him. And they're going to wonder, why are you praying for me? Why are you treating me nice? He says, when he thirsts, give him a drink of water. When he hunger, you feed him. You just keep doing for him. You just keep doing for him. God's working on him now. And you don't need to work on him. God's doing it. He said, vengeance is mine. I repay him. You do what I told you to do. Long as you're doing what I told you to do, I'm going to protect you. But he's got to give account for the things, the deeds done in his body. Condemn sin right there. In 2 Corinthians, Paul stresses the need for us to separate and come out from among them. David didn't go to the feast with Absalom. Absalom was his son. He said, well, no, y'all go ahead and enjoy yourself, son. He didn't despise him or whatever. But it wasn't no use going there because he wasn't right. The feast was dedicated to mess up and kill one of his own. Job's children were feasting in their homes and everything. Job said, y'all, he was a wealthy man. They had their own homes and was able to throw all kinds of parties and everything. And they said, Dad, come over. We got a Super Bowl party going on. And Job said, no, y'all go ahead on. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to be here and praying and everything. They said, Job, storm came and killed them all. And it hurt Job. He didn't say, well, I'm glad they're gone because they was always doing this wrong. He said, you know, it hurt me to lose all my children. It hurt me, but he had done all he could do. It was their lifestyle that caused these things. Sometimes God allows things, and if you're innocent and something happened to you, God will raise you up at the last day. So circumstances come up on us all. They will think it's strange. So I say, they say I'm a weird guy. I don't go to these things with them. He's weird, man. What's wrong with watching the game? Ain't nothing wrong with watching the game. I'm not calling you weird because you want to watch the game, but you're calling me weird because I don't want to watch the game. I don't care who won the Super Bowl. Who won the Super Bowl year before last? He wouldn't know. Who won it the year before? He wouldn't know. But I can tell you right now who's the king of my life and who's been king ever since I've known him. I can tell you who's winning now. That's eternal. So how do we conclude this? Let's conclude. Let's close this out. You have to come by way of the cross. It is walking in his ways, following him, and taking up your cross and denying yourself. That's why Paul went over the 1 Corinthians 11 chapter to 27 verse. Listen at this. Because this is for those that are in the church. You remember I told you, those outside the church God go deal with? Well, how about us in here who are living it, but who are hypocritical, or who are not thoroughly examining themselves? What's going on with those in the church that are not quite doing something they're supposed to be doing? He says, wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup, because he said you did have to eat of his body and drink of his flesh, his blood, right?
Yeah.
So they're in the church and they know that they have to do this. And we do have those that in previous time, even ministers that dodged communion. Well, that's because you don't come on communion day doesn't mean that this won't happen to you. Just because you avoid it, it's kind of going to throw up a red flag and people will say, well, why he ain't coming to communion? It's like when David didn't come to the dinner thing. Saul said, well, why David? What's going on with David? Well, when he didn't want to take the communion or something, there's a problem. So of necessity, he says, you're doing this. But listen at this, continue on, because like I said, you're drinking condemnation to yourself now. You participate and your sins going to be condemned right there. He says, whoever drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a person must prayerfully examine himself and his relationship to Christ, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let me think this way. Have I gave unto Jesus Christ all of the time that I could have given him, or had I given it to the world? Have I tried and have I did right with my fellow man? You examine yourself whether you're in the faith, whether you still following him wholly. I didn't say whether you didn't have sin. If you wait till you don't have sin, you don't need to take it because you're perfect. Unworthily is that you're saying, I'm not, the reason I'm taking this, I can't do it of myself. I need you to help me to do it. I need you to work through me. I need your word to work through me. I need your spirit to work through me. You examine yourself. And only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without solemn reverence and heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifice of Christ, in other words, for what he has done for me, and the thanks and thanksgiving of that, eats and drinks judgment upon himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ. The old folks used to would say, one translation says, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. He's trifling with the death of Christ. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many asleep. You remember what happened with the woman that was a spirit of jealousy that came over the husband, and he called her to drink of the water of defilement that her thigh rotted? Did you know taking communion and partaking of this, and you doing known sin, and you walking in all these things willfully, and not asking him, Lord, I see this in me, I'm saying this, I'm doing this wrong or whatever, that you will get sicker and sicker. He says, that's why many of people are sick. Now, they didn't say that's why all are sick. Don't get me wrong, man. He says, but many are sickly and many are weak. Many have died from it. Because you're not respecting what that stands for. Now, the wicked is a lot of, that. I'm not saying those in the church, but see, those in the outside of the church, you couldn't get them to take communion and save their lives. Because they say they know what it stands for. They have more respect for God. I admire that person more now, who says, I can't do it and I'm not worthy. It's just like the publican and the Pharisee. The guy said, I wouldn't do it, Lord. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Well, a lot of them, knowing that they are not living right or whatever, and won't do it. But there are a lot in church knowing that they're not living right and still doing it. That means you don't reverence God. That means you come in that man's house. It's like going in some man's house and you sleeping with his wife. You don't respect him at all. He says, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart. See, God's going to take care of those. That's why I say, you don't have to do anything. The reason a lot of us go through what we're going through, we're not respecting him, but we're continuing on in the church. Yeah. He's going to purge that from the church now. He's going to purge all wrongdoing. Yet, he says, but if you examine yourself before eating, you will not need to be judged and punished. So that's why it says, let a man examine himself. And you tell God all your flaws. You admit those flaws. And you come to him asking for strength. See, Judas didn't admit to those things. Judas went on like nothing was. Ain't no use hiding it. Ain't no use hiding your sin. It's going to be manifest. It's going to come out. Yet when we are judged and punished by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the world. Some people were bringing these conditions. And the reason he's allowing it to happen in this life is so that they won't be condemned for the rest of the life. So that's what you may have to bear in this life. It's the consequences of your life. The reason it's not prospering the way it is. But at least it's like the Catholics talk about purgatory or whatever. The reason you're suffering so much, you're holding on to those weights and sins that's besetting you from running the race. You won't be able to live a glorious Christian life. See, there are Christians that are miserable. There are Christians that are bitter. There are Christians that are not living up to their full potential. There'll be many vessels in the house of the Lord, some to honor and some to dishonor. We're not here to judge. It is God that's doing the judging, His word and thing. But those who glorify the Lord, those that are sparkling, it says, go wax stronger and stronger and brighter and brighter. We'll lead and teach and do much more for the Lord and for others. And we'll continue to do those things. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day,